なんですよ。
We started learning Masechta Sota a while ago. So we started from the second half and we learned all the inyanim of brachos and davening and so on. And then we went back to the beginning, we're learning the Seder Sota. Amen is choshed his wife that she's being Mazana. We haven't learned Saita for so long, I have to review myself. So if there's Kino Astira, he brings his wife to the Beis HaMikdash and he has a drink from the Maim HaMorim. What is the Maim HaMorim? So the Pasuk says you have to take Maim Kidoshim, what's holy water? What's holy water? So Rashi says water from the Kier. Shenis Kachu Bikli, that's what it says in the, we're on Tezvav on the base. Masech HaSaita Tezvav on the base. So Rashi and the Mishnah writes, you have to take Maim Kadosha, means water that was miskadosh in the Kiyar. The Kiyar is a klisharis. And when you put something into the klisharis that belongs, if you put a dollar bill in a klisharis, it's not miskadosh, it's only miskadosh things that belong there. So if you put water into the klisharis, put water into the Kiyar, that's where it belongs. So the water will become miskadosh. So you have to take Maim Kadosha in a klisharis. There was a machlokes hatanim. Does it have to be a brand new klisharis? It could even be a used one. And the Rambam Paskin is like Rabbi Shmuel, has to be a klicheres chadosha, a brand new one. And then you have to go into the heichal, and you have to take mikarka hamishkan from the sand, from the earth, and put some of it into the water. It's not poisonous; it doesn't taste good. And then the kohen has to be mashbia, the woman. She swears that she was not mizana. She has to swear. She can swear in translation. That's why Perek Ela Nemarim is in Masechta Sota, because the Perek Ela Nemarim discusses which mitzvahs of Amir have to be fulfilled in the original Hebrew, Kichsavon, or which can be fulfilled in translation, which there is no Bechlal, there's not enough Kichsavon. Let's say Sphir Saimer. There's no text. You can say in any language, in any way you express yourself. There is no specific text how you have to say it. That's Avadigun in that. Bikurim, there is a specific text, yeah. So Mikur Bikurim, right? So Bikurim has to be in the original Hebrew. Duchening has to be in the original Hebrew, and the Shavuos Asaita, the Gemara says, can be in any language that she understands. So she has to swear that she was not Mizana, and she has to accept upon herself the curse that if she was Mizana, she's going to die this Misa Mishuna, the miraculous death. That's the commentaries on the Chumash point out. This is the only time the Torah promises that a miracle is going to happen. The Dori Daris, if the woman is innocent. Adarabah v'niksa v'nizra zora. If she, until now she didn't have any children, now she'll be able to have children, and so on. And if she's guilty of loisinov, then she'll die a misa mishuna, a strange death. She doesn't die because the water is poisonous. It doesn't taste good, but it's not poisonous. So after she takes the shvua, you have to write it down on a piece of parchment, then you have to erase it into the water. So the ink is not poisonous. It doesn't taste good. Then she has to drink some of the water. She doesn't have to drink the whole water, she has to drink some of the water. So the Mishnah says, when the Kohen goes into the Heichal, and he takes some of the sand from the floor, so the Heichal had a tile floor. So where's there going to be sand? So there was a tile that had a ring and a handle. He would pick it up and would take some of the offer. So the Mishnah discusses where was this tile that they picked up. Was it on the right side? Was it on the left side? Was it straight ahead? So the Mishnah says it was on the right side.
Was there a shear to the offer?
Huh?
Was there a shear of offer you had to put in?
The Gemara said the shear just is that it should be noticeable. If you're just going to take two specks of offer and throw it into a cup of water, you won't notice it. You just see two specks on the bottom. It means you have to throw enough in.
Yeah. Recognized.
Right. Don't put too much water in either. Don't put too much water in. The Mishnah has a discussion, what's the minimum amount of water that you have to have? But whatever the minimum is, don't put more than you need, because then you're going to have to throw in more offer, that it should be noticeable, that the water should look murky. So the Mishnah says, when the Kohen went into the Heichal, here's the fourth line in the Mishnah on Tezvav HaMeis, Nichnas LaHeichal, Kohen goes in, Ufana Li Mino, and he turned to the right. they had a brayer, they could have made this tile that was loose that they can pick up with the ring. They could have put it to the right, to the left, to the middle. Why did they decide to put it to the right? So that's what the Gemara asks. I think that's where we left off last time. 10 lines from the bottom of Tezvav Amid Beis. So the Gemara quotes a caption from the Mishnah. Nichnas le'echol afanu le'mina. My timer. Why did they choose to make this tile to the right? Why didn't they make it to the left? Why didn't they make it in the middle? So the Gemara, the Amar Mar, we have a tradition based on Psukim in Novi called Pinoshat Apanela Yehu Elali Derechimin. Whenever you do a mitzvah, so you should always do the mitzvah behidura. So let's say there's a mitzvah that you have to do with your hands. So you have a brayer to do them. You have to hold kiddush. You hold the kiddush cup. So should you hold the kiddush cup in your right hand or in your left hand? So most people are righty, so they should hold the kiddush cup in the right hand. That's more bekavadik. If a person is a lefty, so it's more bekavadik, you should hold the kiddush cup in his left hand. The Gemara says when you hold the lulav in the estrix, so the Gemara says you hold in two different hands. So because the dalad minim amakvim zezeh, so 3/4 of the dalad minim are with the lulav, hadasim and aravis. So a righty should hold the lulav in his right hand and the estrix in the left hand. If a person is a lefty, that's a machlekes in Shulchan Aruch. So most assume that he should hold the lulav in the left hand. That's the hida mitzvah. The Gemara says to hold 75% of the mitzvah in the right hand, or if you're a lefty, to hold it in the left hand. So that's about stam about doing mitzvahs. Whenever you do mitzvahs, it's more mehoradik to do the mitzvah with the right hand. So the Gemara has such a similar din, since most people are righties, so whenever you have to turn, whenever you have to do a mitzvah by turning, kol pinish atapayna lo yehu elo limin. So the Gemara says when the kohen climbs up to the mizbeach, and he wants to be zorek the dam of the korban chatos. So when he walks up the kevish is the ram. So you can either turn the. You have to be zorek on 4 karnas on mizbeach chatos. The only korban has rik on 4 karnas on mizbeach. The other korbanos have either shtaim shehin arbe, just zorek on the 2 corners, or only one zrika. So the chatos has on all 4 corners. So when he walks up the kevish, there is no corner there. Either he goes to the right or he goes to the left. So should he turn to the right and go like this counterclockwise around? Or should he turn to the left and go clockwise? So the Gemara says, when he's up on top of the kevish and he has a brayer to go to the right or to turn to the left, so kol pinush atapayna lo yehu ela limit, you should turn to the right. That's covered amitzvah. If you do it to the left, it'll also be yaitzeh. The pashtus is, if you hold the lulav in the left hand, the pashtus, most of the Rishonim hold that the Eved, you would be yaitzeh. Just the Magen Avraham quotes the Rabbeinu Chananel, by us it's printed on the side of the Vilna Shas. I don't know how the Magen Avraham had it. Magen Avraham, he didn't have a Vilna Shatz. So the Magen Avraham quotes Tis Pirush Habeinu Chananel. The Gemara says, when you picked up the lulav and the estrix, so you're yotze already. So how can it be that a person who's holding me wasn't yotze yet? The Gemara says, the Agbe, the Gesheh Hafochoi. What do you mean Hafochoi? So Rashi says, you hold it upside down. You hold the estrix upside down, you hold the lulav upside down. So the Magen Avraham quotes the Pirush Habeinu Chananel, you switched hands. You held the lulav in the left hand and the estrix in the right hand, and you're not even yotze b'dievet? How can that be? So the Rabbeinu Chananel is one of the earlier Rishonim, so we have great respect. So we're choshish for his opinion. But Mikra Adin, the Pashto, says that it cannot be. How can you say it like that? Doing everything with the right hand, or doing 75% of the mitzvah with the right hand, is a hidden mitzvah. It's more becovered dick like that. So here also the Pashtus. When you walk to the top of the kevish, the coin walks to the top, and there's no keren there. So either turns to the right or to the left. So kol piyush atapayna lo yehu ela limin. So you turn to the right. So then the end of the story is going to be, he's going to be going around the Mizbeach counterclockwise. So that's a shaila. If you don't have a case of, you see here, you walked up to the Kevesh, and the shaila, should I go to the right or to the left? So the answer is, go to the Imin. That's more of a kabbadik. If you go to the left, you'll also be yotze if you do it like that. But the Chatchil is more correct to go to the right. Well, let's say there's not a case where you turn to the right, turn to the left. I want to know, should I go clockwise or counterclockwise? But I have to go around. Should you go clockwise or counterclockwise?
When the Kohen walked sideways, he was able to walk straight.
I don't know. Interesting question. I don't know. No. Once he goes to the right, so he has to go all the way around. Finish can break. Yeah, he says there's nothing wrong if he walks straight. He already did. He's pointed to Yamin, going over here. See, the Shaila is some achrenim hold that this is a lachatchila deraisa. The pasuk. Where's the pasuk in Malachim? I forgot already. Does Rashi quote where it is? This din of Kol Pinush at the point of Yehu El Eliyamin.
Maybe why are we so mocked by chalitza that you must remove it with the right hand? If not, it's no good.
Lechatchila, we're machmer that she should remove. We tell the Yavama, put your left hand behind. First, you have to determine whether she's a righty or a lefty. Okay? And then once you determine she's a righty, you tell her, please put your left arm behind your back. So she shouldn't forget, and she should do the chalitza. She should untie everything with her right hand. Why such an insistence? Yeah. The whole thing is just lechatchila. What's this gefela? So there's a Mishnah that says, a chalitza b'smol, chalitza b'sula. So the simple translation of Chalitza B'smol means she took off the shoe from his left leg. Not that she took off the shoe from his right leg with her left hand. But there's a Taisus in Chulin who says the funny way. Taisus in the first paragraph of Chulin, Daf Chav says, Chalitza B'smol, if she removes the Chalitza shoe, she moves the shoe with her left hand, it's no good. So how can it be? How can it be possible if she does with her left hand? The Gemara says, Gidemes, what if the Yavama doesn't have any arms at all? So she's stuck. So she can't do chalitza. Gemara says gidemes choletzes bishineho. Let her take off the shoe. Let her untie everything with her teeth. So if she can do the chalitza with her teeth, so why can't she do it with the left hand? So Tais holds no. That if you have two arms and you do it with the left hand, that's worse than a woman who's a gidemes hotnish kembrera. So she has to do everything with her teeth. But whoever has two arms and does the chalitza with the left hand is possible. So it's a pella de gataisus. The pashup shot in the Mishnah and Yevamos is certainly not like taisus. All the commentaries say pashup shot chalitza b'smol means she took off the shoe from his left leg, as opposed to taking off the shoe from the right leg. But out of respect for the taisus read that shot in the Mishnah. If she does the chalitza with her left hand, it's possible. But yeah, but so that's why we tell her, please put your left arm behind your back and do the whole chalitza, untie everything with your right hand. The pashta says that it's only lachatchila. Pashta says that it's on the all the dinim that you should do with the right hand. See, Rashi over here, the first wide line, Rashi quotes, it's from Sefer Melachim, I think, from the Yamsha, also Shlomo, and the Beis Hamikdash. So the Gemara derives from a pasuk in Melachim that whenever you can go to the right or to the left, you should go to the right. So some Achrayim write that this is a din deraisa. The very shmer. How can you say? Even if it's a din deraisa, I mean, it's a lechat. Even without a pasuk, I mean, it's more mahudadik, more bekavadik, like holding the becher in your right hand, like holding the lulav in the right hand. Lachatchila, okay. So kol pinia shatapaina is also such a din. So the moshel when the kohanim is standing up by the yarn kodesh, and then the chazan calls out kohanim, they should duchen, so they have to face the tzibur. The duchening we learned has to be ponim keneged ponim. They have to face each other. A lot of people are so nervous about looking at the kohanim's hands that they turn around. So the Gemara says they're not yoytze, the bracha is not chal on them. You have to be facing the Kohanim. It has to be ponim keneged ponim. So the Kohanim start off, they're facing the Aron Kodesh. Then they turn around, they face the Tzibur. So in Shulchan Aruch, there are two opinions. When they turn around to do a mitzvah, should they turn around clockwise or counterclockwise? See, it's not the same as walking around the Mizbech. They're not walking around anything. They're just turning around. Like when we say Boy V'Shalom, so we turn around. So should we turn around clockwise or counterclockwise? Which way is more becoming? So the two opinions in the Shulchan Aruch by Hilchas Duchening, whether you should turn, which way is considered the Derech Yamin, and the common practice is that they turn around clockwise. They turn around clockwise. In Shulchan Aruch they say, whatever the shul is going to decide which way, you should see to it that all the kohanim should do the same thing. You shouldn't have some of them do one way, some of them do the other way. It doesn't look nice. If they all do the same, then it looks like an orchestra and everything is beautiful and everything's done for covenant. And most are of the opinion that you should turn around clockwise as opposed to counterclockwise. Whether do the nanuim on Sukkis also, so on Shulchan Aruch there's a machloikis. So you do nanuim in the four directions, then you lamaila lamato. So lamaila lamato, that doesn't fit in with the issue of Derech Yamin. But the Shad's, which way is Derech Yamin when you do Nanuim? So the Shulchan Aruch says that you're facing Mizrach. So you first do the Nanuim in Mizrach, then you go south to your right, then the back, then you go to the left. That's clockwise. You do the Nanuim clockwise. And they quote, and not like those who say Faket. Those who say Faket are the Arizal. In the Minik Svarad and all the Mukubalim, they all insist Faket that the other way is considered Derech Yamin. So the different minhagim, the same thing by Hanukkah. When you have, let's say, a whole menorah, and you have to, let's say, light 8 lights, you're lighting 5 lights, whatever night happens to be. So do you start from the left and you go to the right, or do you start from the right and go to the left? So there's a major machlekes in Shulchan Aruch, and they're both subscribing to the same principle. You have to go Derech Yimin, and they're arguing which way is called Derech Yimin. So those who say that Derech Yimin by the Nanuim is clockwise, so they say you should light the Neiris from left to right. And those who follow the Arizal, that you should do the Nanuim Fakert, you go Mizrach, then you go Tzofen, then you go the back, then you go to the counterclockwise. So they say by the Hadlokas Neiris Chanuk, you should light from the right to the left. Everybody has theories. Everybody has theories. What?
This way,
right,
left,
right,
forward,
down, back.
Does not go around.
Oh.
Goes to the right, then goes
forward,
to the left, up,
back,
through hand, down, and then back.
I don't even know. Okay. So it's all based on this Gemara. All the machlokes are based on this Gemara. Which direction is more becoming? Which way is Derech Yimin? But Lepashtus says that it's all just Lahatchila. Pashtus is all just Lahatchim. Okay. So the Gemara says they had a brayer to make this tile that they're going to pick up with the ring and take the offer from the bottom. They had a brayer to make it straight ahead or to the right or to the left. So since called Paneer Shatapani Lahu Elamin, so that's why they established it on the right side of the the right side of the Hechel in the Beis HaMikdash. Then the Gemara says it was an Amo Alamo, and they would take offer from the floor. So the Gemara has a whole discussion. What does that mean? Tana Rabbanan, we have a Brais, they mean offer. They're quoting the Pasuk in Parshas Nasa. And also, Asheyiyah, the Karka Mishkan, you should take from the floor and put it into the water. First you have the water in the Klicheris, then you throw in the offer. So the Gemara says, Yochel Yisakami Bachutz, B'yachnes, what if you don't want to bother to lean over to pick the coin? There's an old coin, to bend over. He wants to take in some offer from outside of the Beis HaMikdosh and bring it into the Hechol, and then he'll take it out and pour it into the Kli with the water. Does it have to dafke be from the Karka Mishkan? So Yochel, one might mistakenly think, Yisaka mi bachutz v'yachnes, he'll take a plate and take a little offer from the sand from the park, whatever. He doesn't want to make a hole in the floor of the Beis HaMikdosh. He means L'shem Shamayim, doesn't want to make a hole in the offer in the Beis HaMikdosh. So he'll take offer from outside, bring it in on the plate, and then bring it out, and this is offer of Mishkan. So it says, no, Tamaloyma, v'karka Mishkan, that's no good. Just take it on a platter and take it out. You're taking offer from the Mishkan, but it's not from the Karka Mishkan. Ooh, ibe Karka Mishkan. So if it says Karka Mishkan, so then you have to dig from the ground. What if I take offer from outside and put it on the floor for a moment, and then I'll take it back out? So that's no good. So you have to keep on digging. So if you have a lot of soitas who come to the Beis HaMikdash, you're going to have a big loch, you're going to have a big hole in the floor. So the Braisa says, ibe Karka Mishkan, if the loch says it has to dig from the floor, Yochel Yachba Bekardumas, you have to take it, dig a hole in the ground, and if you bring an offer from outside and you throw it on the floor, it's no good. So the hole is going to keep on getting bigger and bigger. Tamalai Mashayihiyah. No, doesn't have to be Karka HaMishkan. If it happens to be Karka HaMishkan is Genud. Okay, said, what's the din? Yesham, if there's enough offer to take and you don't feel bad that you're making a big loch in the floor, Havay, so take from the floor. Ensham, if there isn't enough, you don't want to keep on digging. It's going to be too big a hole. So take offer from outside, go to the park, take some offer, pour it on the floor for a moment, and then take it up, pick it up. And that's how offer is shiya, bikarka mishkan. Yeah, it's a bit that. That's the first price. Tan yidich, the second price, basically says the same thing. Men offer shiya, malay mitshoye, misaka mi bachutz, umachnes. They used to take, they didn't dig. It says Ashayiya, it happens to be. It's not really Afar HaMishkan. This is not the offer that was always there. It happens to be there. It means they took offer from outside, they put it on the floor for a moment, and then they picked it up. The coin would prepare a platter of offer, umachnes, put it on the floor, and then pick it up, and that's good enough. What is it? Why does it say Bikarka HaMishkan? There's an extra word over here. It should say Ashayiya, Ashayiya BaMishkan. Why does it say Bikarka HaMishkan? So the Gemara has a machlek, the Braisa has a machlek is Satanaim. What is that coming to teach me? So the first time, Isi ben Yehuda Eimer, it's coming to teach me Lahavi, to be Marbe. This is a miracle that the Torah promises throughout all the future generations. Verzokta was promised throughout all the future generations. Maybe it's only a miracle that was promised in the days of the Midbar, the Mishkan. And the Beis HaMikdash, it's not called the Mishkan, it's called the Beis HaMikdash. So maybe this miracle was only for the 40 years when Moshe Rabbeinu was alive. They were traveling in the Midbar, they had a Mishkan. So I need the word Bikarka HaMishkan, somehow is an extra word to be Marba Lahavi, Karka Shilo, Nova Givon, Ubeis Olamim. That the institution of Soita, Hashkoas HaSoita, is a din l'daris. You shouldn't think that it's only HaRasha for the days on the Mishkan. Somehow he sees, Yisrael ben Yehuda sees, that this is derived from the Riboy of the extra word Bekarka Mishkan. I don't see exactly how he saw it. He thinks that that's derived. I remember one of the students once asked Rabbi Gerelich. I say it over every so often. We were learning Agamar, the Gemara Darshan Din from a pasuk. So he asked, how did the Tanoim figure this out from this pasuk? How did that word come to be Marbidis? So he said, when he first came to America, he was walking in the street and he saw they were selling nylon in a store. They were selling nylon clothing, women's clothing, nylon stockings, whatever. So in Europe, he never saw such a thing. So he went into the store, he was always inquisitive, and he asked, what material is it made from? So they tell him it's synthetic material. So he said, what is it made from? So they tell him from petroleum. So how can it be made from petroleum? Petroleum is black and dirty and sticky and liquidy. And this is dakhshir and it's clean and it's dry. How can it be? So they told him the scientists know how to take petroleum and to convert it into nylon. So he says, the Heilige Tanaim Zainagiren scientists, they knew how to take a word from the Pasuk and Darshan Adin from the Pasuk. If we would know the science, we'd be able to Darshan also. Okay. That's one of his standard comments. So this Tani Yisrael ben Yehuda, somehow he sees from the word Bekarka HaMishkan that it's Marbi. You shouldn't think that the miracle of the Maim HaMorim was only promised for the Dor HaMidbar, only the Mishkan. No. Lahavi, to be Marbi, even Shiloh, no, the given of Beis HaLomim, is going to work even later. Yisrael ben Menachem Maimer, a different Tana, disagrees. He says, Enetzar, I don't need a Pasuk to be Marbi that even in the Beis HaMikdash and Yerushalayim, this is going to apply. I can figure that out on my own. There's a din that a Tomei who enters the Beis HaMikdash is Chayv Koris. There's no Mises Bezen. He's over in Avera. Lo Yitamas Machanem. Lo Yovel Tocha Machane. You give him Malkis if he gave Hasra. And the Torah says he's punished with a punishment of Koris. So Isid Be Menachem Tain is Ma Betuma Kalo. By a Tomei entering the Beis HaMikdash, it's an Isid Kal. Kal means that there's no one's going to die. It's just Koris. So nonetheless, lachilak hakasuv, Torah doesn't distinguish between the Mishkan and the Midbar and the Beis Hamikdash ledoyrais. How do you know? Because the psukim say sometimes it says Mishkan Mikdash Hashem Timei, and then it says it's Mishkan Hashem Timei. So the Gemara says you see that the din of Tomei shenichnas lamikdash applies both to Mishkan and Mikdash, to the Mishkan in the days of Moshe Rabbeinu and the Beis Hamikdash that's ledoyrais. So ma benegeh to tumakala, Tomei entering the Beis HaMikdash, which is only Koreis, no one's going to die. Nonetheless, we equate the Beis HaMikdash, the Beis HaLomim, to the Mishkan. Betuma says, Shisisha Chamur la Koshkein. Here you're talking about a Saito, someone's going to die. The Saito is going to die over here. So for sure, it should be a Kavachayma that the Beis HaLomim certainly had, the Beis HaMikdash in Yerushalayim, certainly has the same din as the Mishkan and the Midbar. So in Kematam Lama Bekarka HaMishkan, he also holds like Yisrael ben Yehuda, that phrase is meyuter. The Pasuk would have read without that. So it comes to be Malamed something. So he says, Shalayavim Tochku Pasuk. He understands from that, you shouldn't think you'll have a sack of offer and bring a platter of offer into the base, into the Heichel, then walk out. No, that's not good enough. You have to take it in and put it on the floor, at least for a moment. You would have put it on the floor, then you can pick it up. You know, the Nishkan Mitzvah to make a loch, to make a big hole, you bring an offer from outside, as long as you put it on the floor, that would be good. Here, the Top Taisus has a discussion. What did Yisrael ben Yehuda say over here? That this miracle was promised L'doire Doiris. The miracle of Hashkoas HaSoita doesn't only apply in the Mishkan, the days of Moshe Rabbeinu, it even applies in Beis HaMikdash. And Noiva Givon also. Noiva Givon wasn't a Beis HaMikdash. Noiva Givon was a Bama G'dayla. There was a Het HaBamas then. So there was a individual people had the right to make a bama ktana, bama siyachid, anywhere in Eretz Yisrael. Originally, the first Mechilta says in Chumash Mois that before they entered Eretz Yisrael, it would have been permissible to make a bama anywhere, even a chutz lords. V'shenichnasu la'aretz, it was only permissible to make a bama in Eretz Yisrael. So Bizman Nova, given there was a head of bamas anywhere in Eretz Yisrael, you can make your own private bamas yachid. Bama ketana. What? Right. Tesis is explaining why not, yeah. And Nova Givon was the Bama Gedoyla. So Tesis explains what's going on over here. What do you mean, Hashkoas HaSaita? Part of the story of Hashkoas HaSaita is you have to bring a Korban Mincha. And this Korban Mincha is not Zman HaKavua. There's no specific day. A Bama Gedoyla can bring Korbanish Zmanam Kavua. Tmidim, Mustafim, every day. And Mava Yom HaBatal Karban, if you have a Karban they have to bring today, if you don't bring today, you lose your chance, that's called Zman HaKavua. So the din is that a Karban Shel Zman HaKavua can be offered and not even given on the Bama Gedoyla. What about a Karban Mincha Saita? There's no Zman HaKavua. And it's
it is Zman HaKavua relative to her. Relative to the soul day, it's kavua. For her to continue on living with her husband, it's kavua.
No. Zman kavua means if Avayom a bottle karbana, you have to bring it on a specific day, and as nit, you lost the chance. The soita can come to the base and make today, tomorrow, next week, or the week after.
Yeah.
Could be any time. So it's not a karban shel zman kavua. Then the Gemara has a discussion. So it's not, doesn't have a special status. You can't bring it. In Noiva given the Bama Gedoy, they can only bring Karbanish as Zman HaKavua. Here it's a Karban Yochid. A Karban Yochid you can bring on a Bamas Yochid. You can bring if it's Nedarim and Adavis. But this is Nishkin Nedarim and Adavis. This is a Chayva. This is not. The husband volunteers out of the goodness of his heart to bring him in. No. It's not out of the goodness of his heart. This is a Chayva. It's a Chayva Shein Zman HaKavua.
The Kohen didn't make house calls to private Bama.
And a Bama, the din is that you don't need a Kohen. The end of Zvachim,
the Gemara says.
Okay. So you have a whole bunch of reasons why you have to cross that Nova Gibbon. Okay.
The Maisa by Chana said she'd be a soldier, so she'd have to steal with someone to get the bracha for children.
That was in Shiloh.
So Mishkan Shiloh would have worked like.
Yeah. Mishkan Shiloh was Mamisha Beis HaMikdash. That was Mamisha Beis HaMikdash. But Nova Gibbon was only a Bama Gedoyla. So Bizman Bama Gedoyla, you wouldn't have a din of Saita. So that's what Tais says. You have to cross out Nova Gibbon. Okay. Now the Gemara has a shayla. Ibaylahu. We don't want to make a loch in the Beis Hamikdash. We're going to keep on digging out more offer. We want to take something in, take an offer, throw it on the floor for 2 minutes, and then take it out. So the shayla is, Ein sham, Ibaylahu, Ein sham offer. I don't have any sand around to throw in. Can I take some logs and burn them and make ashes and take the ashes and throw it on the floor? She has to be willing to drink the water with the ashes. Okay. It doesn't taste good anyway. With the ink mixed in, with the sand mixed in. So ashes mixed in, ish gefelach. On Erev Tisha B'Av, a lot of people eat the hard-boiled egg with a little ashes. So the world doesn't come to an end. So Gemara has a safi, Giboy Lahu, what if ain't sham afar? There is no sand. Mao she eat then afer. If you burn wood, if you burn something, and you have ashes, is that acceptable? So what's the din in other areas of halacha? Whenever there's a din of offer, can you substitute Afer for Offer? So there is a machlekes b'sham and b'sil regarding Kisui Hadam. The mitzvah of Kisui Hadam says in Chumash, when you shecht a chaya of a oif, when you shecht chickens or turkeys or deer, when you shecht a regular bull, when you shecht a cow, so there's no mitzvah of Kisui Hadam. Behema doesn't need Kisui Hadam. Only chaya of a oif, you need Kisui Hadam. And what do you do Kisui Hadam with? For shochat? V'chisohu be'offer. So what does it mean, offer? So the Mishnah says that it's lav davka offer. If it's anything that's zorim boyim atzmiach, anything that's megadol, if you have anything just like offer, if you plant something in it, it's going to grow. So if you have any material that if you plant in it, it'll grow, so that's acceptable.
Klal
prat. Klal prat, I don't remember any. Could be. So the Taisus points out the Yeridea quotes from the Taisus there in Chul in Perek Kisei Adam. There's a whole Perek about the laws of Kisei Adam. So Taisus points out it's either one or the other. Either the thing is Zarim Boyim Atzmiach, some kind of material that if you plant vegetables, it'll grow. Or if the thing is referred to in the Hebrew language, as Ofer. So for example, Afrois Zohav, someone is very wealthy and he takes gold and he grinds it up into tiny little particles. And in biblical Hebrew there's a pasuk that refers to crushed up gold as Afrois Zohav. So even though if you plant something and put it in the gold, it's not going to grow, but since in Tanakh, in biblical Hebrew, that's called Ofer. So the Chisob Ofer is fulfilled. You mekayim the mitzvah with that. So what if you have ashes, that if you would plant in the ashes, something would grow, there wouldn't have been a machlekes bisham and bisil. They would all agree, whatever zarim boya matzmiach is good for kisei adam. Talking about ashes, that if you'll try to plant anything, not going to grow. But maybe in biblical Hebrew, Ofer is called Ofer. So there is a pasuk.
We said an offer rafer from said, so these are two different things.
Two different things. But the question is, do you have a pasuk in Tanakh that ashes are referred to as offer? So the Basil say yes, that when you burn the the paradum and you take the ashes and you mix them into the water, and you can use that water to do the hazor shlishi shvi, to enable the person to go to the mikveh after the seventh day of the hazor shlishi shvi. So it says you have to take offer. It's not offer, it's ashes, it's afer. So the pasuk uses the word offer and you mix it into the water. So you see that, according to Beis Hillel, you see that afer is referred to in biblical Hebrew as offer, so therefore it's also good for kisei adam. So that's where the Gemara has a discussion. Over here it says, you should take offer mikarka hamishkan. Min hofa sheyeh bekarka hamishkan, yikach hakoin, and you put it into the mayim. So they had a suffix, ein sham offer, mao sheyiten afer. Can I throw ashes on the floor and then pick them up and say that this is offer bikar kamish? I'll leave it to Beis Shammai.
Afer is offer. Find the offer is afer. Afer, we find it's called offer. Offer is offer.
Is there a din that you need dafke afer anywhere? Yeah. So the machlek is bisham and beisil, where they can use the ashes. But the site also, then you need offer.
Right.
So the same shaila. We don't care. The shaila is by the afer is offer. Same shaila by both. By kisei adam you need offer, and by the site you need offer. So according to Beis Shammai, the Gemara says, Aliba. How does the Gemara say? Aliba the Beis Shammai loy to boiloch ois shaila darmi lo matzino efesh kari offer. They claim that the ashes are never referred to in biblical Hebrew as offer, and it's not zorim boya matzmiach, so it's not good for kisei adam. So if ashes are never, according to Beis Shammai, ashes and do not have the halachic status as offer in biblical Hebrew, so it's no good for the efer for offer asoita. Ki teboya achalib de Beis Hillel. The army Beis Hillel is of the opinion that's how we paskin matzina efer shikori offer by poraduma. You have to burn the poraduma and you take the ashes and mix it into the container of water. And the Chumash refers to that as offer. So you see that the ashes are called offer in biblical Hebrew. So maybe I should say, just like it's acceptable for kisei adam, even though it's not zorim boi matzmiach, maybe it should be good for soita as well. I put it on the floor, and it becomes offer bikarka mishkan, and is good. My, what's the din? Afogav dikri offer, even though bisil hold by kisei adam, ashes are considered in biblical Hebrew offer, that maybe sof kol sof is a hocha bekarka mishkan ksiv. As we offer sheir bekarka mishkan, that sounds like sand. It has to blend in with the earth. Ashes don't blend in with the earth, with the sand. I don't know, maybe not. Hi bekarka mishkan, the kiddush ben yehuda, the kiddush ben menachem, who the yosem. Maybe that phrase bekarka mishkan either tells me the din l'rab is beis olamim, or it tells me the other din. That what was the other din? That if you put it there for a moment, it's also good. And maybe it doesn't. We don't require that it should be dafke blend in, even though the ashes don't blend in with the rest of the sand on the ground. According to Beis Hillel, ashes have the status of offer. So this is the Gemara Shaila.
Well, you have on
you have
to put afer or
rushes,
so the offer is good.
No, I don't think so.
Afer is offer, but offer is not afer.
Okay. That's not a din deraisa. You see, that was a practice. He was talking about a din deraisa in biblical Hebrew. Ashes, according to Beis Hillel, ashes have the status of offer. There, the meaning was that they used to say nishken halacha over there. The meaning was that they would put ashes as a sign of avelus. So you have to use dafke ashes, not offer. Yeah. Zog de gemara toshma. We're going to prove what the din is, where the ashes are acceptable. So they prove it from a memory. Omer Rabbi Yechanan, Mishum Rabbi Shmoel, Rabbi Yochanan was an Amora. He was the first generation of Amoraim, a Talmud of Rabbi Yudah Nasi. He never met Rabbi Shmuel. If he would have heard directly from Rabbi Shmuel, they would have said, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Amar Rabbi Shmuel. He says, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Mishum Rabbi Shmuel means he heard over in his name. He lived quite a generation before him. So he didn't hear directly. So, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Mishum Rabbi Shmuel, Vishloshe Mekaymas Halacha Okeves Es Hamikra. There are three places in Halacha, in Chumash, where you have Pshut Shal Mikra says one way, and we have Halacha L'Moshe Misinai that says not so. What are the three places in Halacha? So the way it says in Agimara, HaTaira Omer, it says in the Chumash, V'chiso be'ofor, Yidu Kisei Adam, with offer, and Halacha says B'chol Dover. You can use other things also. You don't necessarily have to use offer at all. Whatever is Zaren by Matzmiach is also acceptable. Number two, HaTaira Omra B'ta'ar, it says in the Parsha by a Nazir, Tar Le'Avra Roshi is not allowed to shave his hair with a razor, v'alocha b'chol dover. And the Mishnah says that even if he uses something else to remove all of his hair, he also gets malchus, alocha b'chol dover. And the third case is Hatara Amar, because of Allah Sefer Krisus, when a man divorces his wife, so the word Sefer in biblical Hebrew usually refers to writing on parchment. Like you write a book, in Elman Yamdi Yami Rabbi, we write on parchment. So strictly speaking, you should insist that a get has to be written on parchment. Halacha, and the halacha says, the Mishnah Gittin says, b'chol dover. You can write the get on a piece of paper, on a leaf. Rashi quotes, Allah shal zayis, a leaf is also acceptable. So the Gemara says, there are only three cases and no more. The Tana said, a number three, the Gilma comes for Iyim Isa, and if you're going to tell me that ashes are acceptable for the Saita, so why didn't he say a fourth case? Lech shanami hai, he should have mentioned the additional case, that you're supposed to use offer for the Hashkoas HaSaito, and Efer is acceptable also. So the Gemara says, Tana B'Shia. Even though the Tana said three, he gave you a number, it sounds like Dafke, Lav Dafke. He said, there are at least three cases, there are more than three. Then the Gemara usually has an attitude, my Shia, the high Shia. If the Tana only left out one additional case, there must be a reason why he left it out. If he left out more than one, so he was Lav Dafke, he was just giving a few Mashalim. So the Gemara asked, it cannot be he only left out one. My Shia, the high Shia, what else did he leave out? So the Gemara, Shia Mitzayra. He left another din out also. Why? The Tanya, you have a Brisa, a Mitzayra is Tameh until he gets cured. Mitzayra develops a Negat Tzaras. So you have to have a Kohen look at the Negat Tzaras and paskin that the man is a Tameh. The Kohen doesn't necessarily have to be so learned, doesn't have to be such a skin doctor that he should know everything. He has a Talmid Chacham tell him on the side whether it's Tamei or Tor, and then the Kohen pronounces. Talmid Chacham doesn't have to be a Kohen. Kohen doesn't have to be so knowledgeable. He can rely on what the Talmid Chacham tells him, and he'll paskin Tamei. When he paskins Tamei, the person becomes Tamei Mikana Labo. All the other Tumas, you become a Balkari, you become a Zav, you touch the mace, you become Tamei right away. You don't have to wait till the Kohen, till somebody paskins. And by Tumas Negat Tzaras, it's a Chidush Akro, that he only becomes Tamei Mikara Labo after the Kohen Paskin. Zman Hazeh, the Chavetz Chaim discusses it, that we don't, in the Sefer on Lashon Hara, we don't observe this din. We don't have Kohanim declare that someone is Tamei, so everybody remains Tamei, even if the person actually has a Negat Tzaras. Because Zman the Kohen doesn't declare him as Tamei, so he remains Tamei. Well, he discusses, why don't we have this mitzvah observed Zman Hazeh? There are people who have a Negat Tzaras. Oh, so there's no remedy, because when he'll get cured, he won't be able to become Tahor unless he brings the series of Korbanos. So there's no Beis Hamikdash. So it's not a smart thing to declare him as Tamei. He'll be stuck for the rest of his life. Like the Saita, right? Right. So the Pesukim say when the medical condition is healed and he's no longer a Metzora, he has to get a Kohen. The Kohen has to look at him. And then he has to start the whole procedure. And after he does the whole procedure, the Seder Taharas HaMetzora, then he'll become Tahor. So part of the procedure is that he does Tiklachas Rishayna. He shaves off all the hair on his body. Then he does Tiklachas Shniyah 7 days later. B'yom HaShvi'i, he does again Tiklachas Shniyah. So we have the Tanya B'hoya, B'yom HaShvi'i, on the seventh day, he does Tiklachas Shniyah. Yigaleach is Kol Sa'orai. So that pasuk seems to be written in such a way that you have a klal prata klal. Yigalach is kol sa'ora, it sounds like a klal. He has to shave off all the hair. The Mishnah says in the Goyim that there's the mitzvah to shave off the hair by three people. By the Mitzvah when he's Ola Mituma Latara, and by the Nazir when the Zman HaNaziris is up, whenever it's up. He can be Mekam Naziris for 10 years, he can be Naziris for half a year. It has to be a minimum of 30 days. So whenever the Naziris is up, he has to shave off all the hair on his head. He doesn't have to shave off the beard. When he was a Nazir, he could have shaved the beard if he wanted to. The Kedushas Nazir was on the Kaddish Gadol Peres Sarosha. Sarosha means the hair on top of the head. When he terminates the Zman HaNaziris, then he has to shave off with the razor all the hair on top of the head. He doesn't have to shave off the hair on the beard. He certainly doesn't have to shave off the hair on the rest of the body. So the Mishnah says there are Shlosha, there are three instances where the mitzvah of Tiglachas by the Mitzvah who becomes Tahar by the Nazir. And the third one was a Hirasho by Bechiris HaLevim. In the beginning of Chumash Bamidbar, when the Levim were designated as a Shevet Levi with special status, so they had to shave off all the hair. So the Tana develops a whole klal prata klal by the Tiglach HaShniyah. It should have been Yigalchus Kol Sara Klal. Then it says Asrosha V'yazukon V'yazgabaseinov is a prat. It says he has to shave off the eyebrows and the hair on his head and the hair on the zikon of the beard. Then it says Vaitavis Kol Sara Yigalea Chazavikilo. So it seems that you have a klal prat to klal. So how do you deal with that? Yata dona lakena prat. Usually say kena prat is daima and two things. When you have a klal prat to klal. So what is a daima with two things? Ma prat mufurish mokim kina seira venire. What are the three examples that are mentioned in the prat? As rosho, there's the konoi, there's gabasenov. All the hair on top of the head, the hair by the beard, gabasenov, the eyebrows, the bushy eyebrows on top. So they have two things in common, all the three. The hair over here, the hair by the beard, and the gabasenim have two things in common. Number one, it's a mokin kina ser. As opposed to all the hair on the arm, all the hair on the legs, it's all over the place.
Visible.
Huh?
Visible. It's visible.
Nir is the second point. Visible as opposed to under the armpit. It's not visible. So any hair which is mokim nira, visible, as opposed to under a part of the body that's usually covered up. And also kina ser, there's a lot of hair there. As opposed to on the arm, you don't have all the hair located in one location. It's all spread out all over the place. So it would appear that it should be governed by a klal prata klal. My prat mufurish mokum kineser v'nir. I've come mokum kineser v'nir. My rabbi, so what should you be marbe? He has to shave off all the hair. Your marbe ser haraglayim. Ser haraglayim doesn't mean on the legs. Rashi says it's a loshen nikki. It means the ser on the eva ha'erva, because you have a lot of hair there. The ser on the legs, like the ser, like the hair on the arms. That it's not the mokum kineser. It's not located in one location. But by the eva ha'erva, there is a kineser. So your marbe, you have to shave. Luchar, we should have been marbe. You have to shave off the hair, seir haraglayim by the erva. And my meat, me the beis hashechi, the kuli gufe. Beis hashechi is under the armpits, zeina nira. That's a beis hastarim. The din is when a person goes to mikveh, so the person doesn't have to open their mouth and open their eyes. The water doesn't have to go into the beis hastarim. So the gemara says you don't have to open up your arms like this. You have to open up your arms a little bit. That person's going to go to mikveh like this. You can't say he holds his arm like this all day long. He moves his arms around. So this part of the arm is not a beis hastarim. A person doesn't go around like this. He doesn't go like this. So the part of the arm that's in the armpit, that's most of the time, most of the day, is covered. So that's called beis hastarim. So just like there's a din when a person is toivel in the mikveh, he doesn't have to be toivel the beis hastarim. There's a din of chatzitza. The Gemara says you have to clean out your teeth and make sure there's no chatzitza even in the beis hastarim, but you don't need bias maim in the beis hastarim. And the same thing, maga beis hastarim doesn't count. There's only tumah if you have maga begufo. Maga beis hastarim doesn't count. So the Gemara says we should have determined that we have a klal prata klal, and we should have said the din is that the Metzora on the seventh day when he does the Tiglach HaShniyah should have to shave off only the Rosh HaSkona, the Gabbaseinov, and the Beis HaErva, and the Raglayim, and the arms not, and the Beis HaShechi not. That's what the din should have been. And is the din like that? The Hilchasa, but Halacha Lamaisa, what is the din? The Galech Kedalas, he shave off everything. You shave off all the hair on the bottom. this non, that's how it says in the Mishnah and the Goyim. Bolo lahakif samatzara. When he comes, lahakif means like lo sakif and pasroishchem. You're going to shave off your pay. So when he comes to shave off the pay of the Metzorah is not the same tiglachas as the Nozer. We said the Nozer only shaves off the hair on top of his head, doesn't even shave off the beard. But the Metzorah has to shave off all the hair. Originally we thought it should have been covered with a klala prata klal, should only be makom kina seir v'nira, to the exclusion of Beis HaShechi and to the exclusion of seir haraglayim on the legs and seir on the arms. And the halacha says not so, that the tiglachas shnei is just like the tiglachas rishana. By the tiglachas rishana, there is no such klal prata klal. So tiglachas rishana, we know he shaves off all the hair like a kedalas, like you shave off all the fuzz on vegetables. See, the tiglachas rishana for sure is like you shave off everything. So the Mishnah says, "Bola lahakiv samtzara, maritar kol b'sara, uktani sefer." That's the tiglachas rishana. Then it says, "Uktani sefer." The next Mishnah says in the Goyim, "But b'yom haShvi'i, migalcha tiglachas shnei kitiglachas harishayna." The second tiglachas, despite the fact that we should have had a klal prata klal, is not the same as the other three cases that Rabbi Shmuel was quoted. Rabbi Yechanan quoted the name Rabbi Shmuel. There are three places where halacha or kevus is hamikra. The simple reading of the pasuk is that get has to be on parchment, and we say it's lav davke. Simple reading of the pasuk is that kisei adam has to be offer. We say that it's lav davke. It's not that it's a simple reading of the pasuk. We developed the whole klal prata klal, and we have the halacha says that we don't accept the klal prata klal. It's not the same, but the Gemara is still saying my shir the high shir. Rabbi Yechanan, and quoting Rabbi Shmuel, left out two cases. He wouldn't only leave out one. He left out one case that offer by Saita ashes would be acceptable, and he left out also halacha kevis. We really should have developed the klal prata klal, and we don't follow the klal prata klal. The halacha says tiglachas shnias kemo tiglachas rishonim. So he left out two things. So it's an ishkan taina maishir the haishir. Maybe he left out ashes are good for Saita, and he left out tiglachas shnias. So the Gemara says that's not a correct analysis over here. It's not the same. The three cases before that he was talking about Shloshim Mikaymus Halacha Da Halacha Moshe Messina, Rashi says Okevus Es Hamikra. The pasuk says Pshuta Shal Mikra says one way, and the Torah Shabbat Peh says we don't follow the pasuk. Here it's not we don't follow the pasuk. We don't follow a drasha of Klal Prata Klal. We should have developed a Klal Prata Klal. So the Halacha says we don't follow the Klal Prata. But it's not that. That's not the same. So that's what Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchok says. Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchok, that's not a valid point that you say. You can't say my shir da shir shir tiglach hashnia. Kiko choshi, what did he list off? Rabbi Yochanan quotes the name of Rabbi Shmuel. He listed off three cases. Halacha keves es hamikra. With halacha l'moshe m'sina, it means the Torah Shema Peh tells you don't follow the pasuk. Oh, this case is halacha keves midirabbanan hi. What do you mean midirabbanan? The halacha tells you don't follow the drasha that the chachamim wanted to make. It's a strange lashon. Halacha okevis midirabbanan hi. It's not a midirabbanan. Halacha okevis did klal prata klal. So in the back of the Gemara, you have the horis from the Maritz Chayis. Maritz Chayis lived in Galicia and he learned by the Beis Ephraim, by the Prime Zalman Margolius. Prime Zalman Margolius was a businessman, happened to live abroad. He was more famous than the rabbi. The rabbi who lived in Broad wrote the Lev Aryeh Echolin, which used to be a classic, and today hardly anybody looks at it. It's a beautiful sefer. But the Balabas, the Rabbi Chaim Zalman Margolius, became more famous than the rabbi in Broad. He was very learned. So he, Maritz Chayis, learned by Rabbi Chaim Zalman Margolius. Every so often he quotes a comment from him in interpreting a Gemara. So he says, Rabbi Chaim Zalman Margolius suggested that it must be a mistake in the Kisvei Yad here. It shouldn't say halach. He says it based on Yerushalmi or something. It shouldn't say halach or kebis. The rabbanon should say halach or kebis medrashi. You should have made a drasha of a klal prata klal. So the halach al Moshe Messina Torah Shabbat Peh says don't follow the klal prata klal. But that's not the same as the three cases that he mentioned before. The three cases were halach or kebis mikra. But the Torah Shabbat Peh tells you not to follow the pshuto shal mikra, not to follow the Torah Shabbat. Here, the Torah Shabbat Peh tells you not to darshan the klal prata klal, which is also Torah Shabbat Peh. It tells you, tiglach hashniyah, kid tiglach hasarishayim. So that's what he's magia. Instead of the word halacha keves midirabanan, it's not midirabanan. Halacha keves midrasha. I would have made a drasha, and now it tells you not to make that drasha. Here Rashi goes on to hold this discussion. Why are these cases called halacha okeves? Halacha okeves, the halacha l'moshim see means the Torah Shabbat Peh undermines the pasuk. How does it undermine the pasuk? It says, let's say you write a get sefer krisis, you write a get on parchment, and the halacha, the Torah Shabbat Peh darshins that it doesn't have to be written on parchment, it can be written on anything. So that's called undermining the pasuk. If you write on parchment, is also good. He says, lav davki, you can write on other things as well. The pasuk says that Nazir is not allowed to shave off his hair with a razor. Torah Shabbat Peh says that is correct, but we add on, even if you shave off with something else, you also get malchus. So Rashi has a difficulty. Then he quotes a Yerushalmi, has a little a different girsa. Marzeya. It says when you have an Eved Ivri who was sold, and he shiyotze b'sheish, and he wants to remain on, and the Odin wants to keep him on. So it says Rata Adonim Esosna ba Marzeya ba Avodah Liom, has to bring the Eved Ivri. It doesn't apply to Eved 90. Eved 90 is not yotze b'sheish. So he brings the Eved Ivri to the Bezdin, and the Bezdin should do Ritzia, they should make a hole in the hard part of his ear, not in the soft part. If make a hard part in the cartilage of the ear. So the Pasuk says, Rata Adonim Esosna ba Marzeya, you use an instrument, a tool that's specifically manufactured for that purpose to make holes in the body. And the halacha says that any sharp instrument can be moved, can be used. You don't need dafke marzeh. So Rashi quotes from the Yerushalmi that the Yerushalmi has a different girsa here. But which one? I think the get. Instead of the get, there's a difficulty. You're not undoing any pasuk. If you write on parchment, it's good. If you write on paper, it's also good. The halacha, the Torah Shabbat Peh, just adding on that it need not necessarily be written. The others maybe are okevis. It says kisi hadam. How are you yotze the mitzvah if you cover with something else? That zoram boy matzmiach. So that's really against the pasuk. The Tai Rashi has difficulty also. Yeah, so Rashi gets it's problematic over here. But I'll call upon him. What the Gemara is saying. That's what Rabbi Tzvi Yishchai says. What the Gemara is saying is, the three cases, we're not sure what the three, why only these three, the three cases are where the Torah Shabbat Peh tells you not to follow what it says in the Torah Shabbat Peh. Seems to be contradicting the Torah Shabbat Peh. That's called Okeves. The Torah Shabbat Peh is undoing the Pshuto Shel Mikra. But in this case, by the Tiglach HaShnei Shamsar, it's not undoing a Pshuto Shel Mikra, it's telling you to reject the suggested Klal HaPrata Klal.
But the Gemara is mashvid that to a crow. If you can learn the Gemara,
the Gemara originally equated it with Aloch HaKeves, and the Gemara said, even though he said a number three, Shloshim HaKeves, he left out two. He left out the ashes by the site and left that out. And then this man, Damar Nachman Yitzchak, says he doesn't think that that's valid argument. It'll be my shear, the high shear. There's only one thing that was left out. If ashes are good for site, he left out ashes. And that halacha keves as hamedrish is not the same. That's not my shir, the high shir. Rav Papa has a different argument. Rav Papa, makiko choshiv, a different argument why you can't consider tiglach hashniyah as something that was left out. Kiko choshiv, when does Rabbi Shmuel list off the things? Halacha keves as hamikra. Halacha does mean, Rashi keeps on saying halacha means halacha l'moshe misina. It's not halacha l'moshe misina. Gemara darshan all of these from psukim. It just means Torah Shabbat Peh. There are different parts to the Torah Shabbat Peh. The Rambam writes in the introduction to the Pirush HaMishnah, it's really an introduction to all of Torah Shabbat Peh. He says there are four parts to the Torah Shabbat Peh. He says one is halacha l'moshe misina, dinim that there's no way to darshan at all. That the tefillin have to be square and the tefillin have to be black. And arav olam mizbeach and nisach hamayim. There's no way to darshan at all from the psukim. Then you have another section of the Torah Shabbat Peh, Pirushim HaMekubalim L'Moshe MiSinai. It says in the Chumash, Pre-Eitz Hadar. You can't negotiate what fruit it refers to. The halacha, the Torah Shabbat Peh has a tradition that's referring to an Esrog, and there are no two ways about it. The Chumash says, Ayin Tachasayin, and there's nothing to negotiate. We have a tradition that's a Melitza, and that Melitza means Mammon. Ayin Tachasayin doesn't mean anything other than Mammon. We have certain traditions and phrases in the Chumash that's called Pirushim HaMekubalim L'Moshe MiSinai. There's no room for negotiation. The tradition has it that that's what that expression means in biblical Hebrew. Then the Rambam says there's a third section to the Torah Shebal Peh. All the Midah Shatara did Reshes Peh. How we read in between the lines. Here it says Loshon Zochas, which is the Loshon Nekevi. You have Molei and Choser. You have Rabim and Yochid. You have Klal Prat Klal. You have the Psukim are written in a little strange fashion. So we have traditions how to read in between the lines to fill in all the missing information, all the missing details of all of the different mitzvahs, tzitzis, and tefillin, Shabbos, and kashrus, and so on. And then the Rambam says the fourth part to the Torah Shebal Peh are the Gzeiros Derabbanan, or the Dinim Derabbanan. Once the Chachamim institute them, they're only with the Rabbanan, but once they institute them, then they become a chelik of the Torah Shebal Peh min haTorah. Then when you learn the Dinim of the Rabbanan, you yotze a mitzvah of Talmud Torah min deraisa. When you observe the mitzvahs from the Rabbanan, the chayvus agava to observe the mitzvahs from the Rabbanan is only with the Rabbanan. When you learn the dinim, that constitutes a cheftza, a limud haTorah on the mitzvah, on the level of the raisa. So that's what the Rambam has in his Hakdamah to the Pirush HaMishnah. It's the four different sections of the Torah Shebal Peh. So here, Rashi keeps on saying here, halacha, kevus is hamikas, halacha l'moshe misina. These are not halachas l'moshe misina. Rashi himself quotes the Gemaras. These were all nidrash through psukim, that a get need not necessarily be written on parchment. The Tanaim worked it out from psukim by reading the psukim. It doesn't mean halacha l'moshe misina, it means Torah Shebal Peh. The Torah Shebal Peh contradicts the Torah Shebichzav. So that's what Rapapa, Marapapa says, the only three cases that he mentioned, Kiko Choshiv, he's only mentioning case of halacha okevis v'okeres, when the Torah Shebal Peh tells you to violate what it says in the Chumash. Don't follow what it says. Abaha, here the Chumash says you should shave off the hair over here, the hair over here, the eyebrows, and it doesn't say about the rest of the body. So the Torah Shebal Peh tells you, you should shave off that hair, and this hair, and that hair, and shave off all the rest of the hair all over the body, kedalas, like you're shaving off all the fuzz on the outside of the vegetable. So it's not, the Torah Shebal Peh is just Mosefis. It's adding on, but it's not telling you, it's not contradicting what it says in the Pasuk. So that's why it's not really fair to say, my shir, the high shir, the Galach HaShnir, just we're adding on to the Pesukim.
Instead of learning like Maritz Chayitz, could you explain Midrash Rabbanan and Ha'akevus Midrash Rabbanan, like we explained the Rambam,
could be. The expression divrei sofrim often means dinam derabbanan, and the Rambam quotes Gemaras. The Rambam uses it often for dinam deraisa, where the rabbanim, where there is rabbinic input to introduce dinam derabbanan. The whole thing is rabbinic input. They invented it. But even on dinam deraisa, that it nidrash through the reading the psukim. That's also called the Reisofrim. The Rabbonim developed this din by dashening the Pesukim. So the Rambam calls them both the Reisofrim. So that's the question. Can you call that Midir Rabbonim? Can you call that Midir Rabbonim? Midir Rabbonim usually means a din Midir Rabbonim. So you want to say maybe Midir Rabbonim means the Reisofrim with rabbinic input. So that's his suggestion was that maybe originally it says Midrasha. And then someone made a Rashi Tevis out of it. He just said Mem Dalad Reish. And he put an apostrophe. And then the printer thought that the word, the letters that are missing are midrabbanan. Really, the end of the word should have been midrasha. Halacha okeves midrasha. The Torah Shebal Peh tells you not to follow the drasha of the klala prata klala. But you could interpret even the way it's a. You should check into the Ksavyan Minchan. They always have the Dikduk Eserfim, always has all the Shinui Gersots. Maybe there's some Kisviya where it says midrasha. Rabashi Omar, Rabashi says, he doesn't see Akasha at all. The Gemara said, Rabbi Shmuel, the Tana left out an additional case. Rabbi Shmuel said, there are three cases of Halach, Kevus, and Zami. Gemara says, V'im Isa, and if he can use ashes for the Soita, so he left out another case. So why did he only leave out one? The Gemara said, no, maybe he only gave three cases as a Dugma, and merely, he left out more than one case, left out two cases. What did he leave out? This one also. So Rav Ashi says, what are you talking about? He thinks that it's a machlokes hatanoim. The Mishnah in Negoim that says tiglach hashniya is kitiglach hasrishayna, that you shave everything off. Kidalas, you shave like you shave off all the fuzz on the vegetable. That's one Tana's opinion. And the other Tana disagrees, and he says that tiglach hashniya is a klala prata klal. And this depends on the machlokes Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Akiva, what is the correct version of the Midrash HaTorah Nedrashes Bem. So the Gemara says, Rashi on the bottom quotes, the last two lines. He says, in Shavuos Paragimel, Dav Chavav, The Gemara says Rabbi Shmuel learned by Rabbi Nechunya ben Akonah, and he had the traditions from him that when you darshan such a pasuk, you darshan klal prata klal. That's the brisa that says in the Siddur before Baruch Shama. Rabbi Shmuel Hayama b'shalashim is hartarned reshes man. So it says klal prat prata klal klal prata klal. Rabbi Akiva learned by Nochem Ish Gamzu, and he had a different style of drasha. He held instead of klal prata klal, ribui miyut v'ribui. What's the difference to Medrei Tahin, to Medrei Taher? What's the difference when they say Ribi Meir Tvi Ribi Klal Prat Klal? So Rashi says, it's too long to explain. I explained it in Sukkah. See the last Rashi. Look in Sukkah Daf Nun, is a long Rashi there. It's a slight difference. It's a slight, kimat the same thing, but a slight difference. So the Gemara says, here, this Al-Chapa Naf Kimina. You're telling me there's a contradiction between Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Yechanan quotes Rabbi Shmuel, against the Mishnah and the Goyim. What do you mean in how come Rabbi Shmuel didn't mention the Mishnah? The answer is he doesn't believe in the Mishnah. The Mishnah, Stam Mishnah, is Rabbi Meir, Libet, Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Shmuel doesn't agree. And this Machlaik is Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Shmuel depends on their old Machlaikas, when he darshan klal prat klal, a ribu miyut viribu. So the Gemara says, Rav Ashi Omar, Homas nitamani, Rabbi Shmuel hi, the dorish klal prati. The Brisa that said, the Tanya, we should really make a klal prata klal, that's Rabbi Shmuel. And the Mishnah that says kidalas, the Mishnah that says teglachas shniya, kemo teglachas vishayna, stam Mishnah is Rabbi Meir, alibed Rabbi Akiva. That's a different school of thought, that's a different shita. Kidalas, mani, the Mishnah says you shave off teglachas shniya, kidalas, like you remove all the fuzz from the vegetable, that's alibed Rabbi Akiva, the darshi buya miyuti, the Tanya. We have a brice of the fairish. This is, you're working out a riba mid for riba over here. So you should be marbe, you should shave off kolsara, all the hair on his body. Then it says, es rosh of his kanav is gabasein of his amut, only part of the hair, not all the hair. Then it says, es kolsara galech chaz of a riba. Riba mid for riba had darshan. So riba hakol. We start off, you should really be marbe, shave off all the hair. My riba, riba de kule gufa. You should be marbe, you should shave off all the hair on the body, but you have to be memayit something. So if you have a klal or prat the klal, you say it has to be, the din only applies to things that are dumya the prat, daimal about usually in two things, like we said before, mokum kina seyar, v'nira. Mokum kina seyar as opposed to all the hair on the arms, and nira as opposed to the beis hashechi. But if you hold ribi mid v'ribui, you marba everything, you only memayit one little thing. So what's the one thing that you memayit? The seyar shebetoch hachoytem. The seir, the beis ha'erva, beis ha'shechi, everything. You have to shave off all the hair on the surface of the body. And the hair inside the nose, you don't have to krich harayin to shave off all the hair inside them. That's the only thing in my mind. My riba, riba de kul de gufa. My mid, mid, seir shebetech ha'chayta. So Rav Ashi claims that this is not an exception to the rule. Rabbi Shmuel said, b'shloshe mekamas halocha kevis es ha'mikra. So you told me, you told me that you shave off all the hair kidalas, and that's not in accordance with the klal prat klal. He says, no, you shave off all the hair is not Rabbi Shmuel's opinion. Rabbi Shmuel would hold from his klal prat klal. He'll remain like that. The halacha, the Torah Shabbat Peh, does not tell you not to follow klal prat. You will follow. The Mishnah kidalas is following Rabbi Akiva's opinion. So that can't count. We said, my shear, the high shear, Rabbi Shmuel left out ashes for the soito, so he said you can't just leave out one thing. What else did he leave out? So he said, well, he left out tiglachashne. He doesn't agree with tiglachashne. That's the other time. He doesn't hold like that. So the Gemara says the bottom line, vu haltman, vu my haviala. What's the maskana? What's the maskana? Do we all like Rav Ashi or not? What's the din? Are ashes acceptable for the parat, for the soito or not? We don't want to make a loch in the Beis Hamikdash, in the floor of the Beis Hamikdash, but we can always bring in mibachutz and put it down for a moment and take it. So do we insist dafka on putting sand on the floor? Or would we say you could even put ashes on the floor also? My havi alabas blight lamaskone. Everything more toshma. Domara puta barashi amarav. Ain't shamof. And maybe rakvuvis yerek umikadish. If you don't have any ashes, if you don't have any sand to put on the floor, so you can take rotted vegetables, yerek is vegetable, rakfuvis means rekev, that rotted away, it's not ashes. But he says, Rab says that that's also acceptable. Rav Huna bar Rashi quotes it, that rekav of a yerek is also called yerek, is also called offer. So when it says offer, is labdavka offer that blends in, that sand that blends in with the earth, it can even be something that doesn't blend in. Yerek grows from the ground. So what was the maskana? So it is good or it's no good? So what did he say about the issues? It is good or it's no good? So the way we have the Gemara, it says they brought a raya to prove that it doesn't have to be sand. Just like rekev of yerek is acceptable, so too ashes are also acceptable. Then the Gemara rejects and says, "Velohi, it's not true. Rakvuv is yerek huda havoy offer. Eifel havoy offer. It's still not the same. Ashes is no good, and rekev of yerek is good." So the way we have the Girs and the Gemara, they were quoting initially to prove that it's labdavke sand, and they rejected that. Rashi couldn't even visualize that as a havamina. Why should there even be a havamina to be able to prove from one from the other? So Rashi says, Hachi Garsinan, the third line from the top in the Rashi, Rashi's rejecting the Girsa that we have. Hachi Garsinan, he says, V'loi Garsina V'loihi. You don't have the Girsa the way we have in our Gemara. You see, here it's obvious that Rashi's rejecting the Girsa that we have. A lot of times Rashi would say, Hachi Garsinan, and he says the same as it says in our Gemara. We know, what is he driving at? So obviously it's a dead giveaway that there was another girsa that he's rejecting. Here it's obvious he's rejecting the girsa that's printed in the Vilna Shas. So in our Gemara it says, initially thought they're proving, since Rav said that rotted vegetables that rotted away are acceptable for the Saito, so Yeshus is the same, and then the Gemara rejects it, it's still not the same. And Rashi says, no, that was the proof in the first place. The Rav only went so far and not further. Rav only went so far to say Rekav Yerek is good, he would never say that Eshes are good. Okay, so bottom line, it's the same thing. The only difference between Rashi's Girsa and our Girsa was there even a Havamin in the first place to say not. Okay. The Gemara works on every single detail of the Halacha. Then the Gemara has a discussion, how much offer do you have to throw in? That was a Shaila. How much water do you need and how much offer? So how much water you need, that's a Machloikis HaTanoim. Nochemol. Here's the Mishnah Tezvav on the base. So the first Tana says Machleg Zabud in Rameir. So the first Tana says how much water? Notice on the Socha Chatzi Lug Mayim Minakir. Rabbiud Omer Revius Halug. So Revius is a Beitza Umachza. In Chatzi Halug is twice as much. So it's the volume of three Beitzim. So the Tanakam is Reb Meir. Stam Mishnah is Reb Meir. Tanakam says two Revius in Chatzi Halug. Rabbi Yehuda says, a revius halug. They're arguing what's the minimum. We always recommend you shouldn't have too much water, because the more water you have, so the more offer you're going to have to take. So the bigger the loch is going to be in the floor of the Beis HaMikdash. You have to take, because you have to take so much offer that it should be visible, not to have a speck of offer on the bottom. The offer should penetrate through the water. Look, it should look murky. So the Mishnah says, what's the machlekes here, whether you need a revius or two revius? Rabbi Yudas Lishitosai. And the next daf, Yud Zainam and Alt, there's a big machlekes, Rabbi Yudas and Rabbi Meir, and Rabbi, three different sheetahs. Rabbi Yudas, Rabbi Yosi, Rabbi Meir, three sheetahs. How much of the Parsha Soita do you have to write on the Megillah Soita? So Rabbi Yudas is the biggest maker. He has a shorter nusach than everybody else. So you don't need so much water to erase it. Mashenik and the other Tanaim have more than twice as much as Rabbi Yudas. So you need a lot more water in order to erase the more ksav. So that's what the Mishnah says. Keshen Shem and Ma'id B'Ksav, just like Rabbi Yehuda in the next Mishnah, says he writes much less than Rabbi Meir holds, Kach Ma'id B'Maim, so he doesn't need so much water. So here the Gemara explains on Tezayin on the base, 10 lines from the top, Tana Rabbanon, it's a Tosefta, it says, there are three halachas where there is a shear, and the shear is not Kezayis Kebetz, the shear is that it should be visible. Shlosha, there are three mitzvahs, Tzvichem Sheyei Ra'u, it should be visible. One is Afar Soito. You have to mix in so much sand into the water that it should be visible. That you should notice that the water is murky. Efa para also. Ibarra para duma, and you'd have the ashes. And then you take a big vat full of water, and you're going to take a speck of ashes from the para duma, throw it into the water, and that's it. Then you can use all of this water for the purpose of hazor shlishi shvi, to prepare people for the tefillah and the mikveh. So the din is no. You have to have so much ashes, depending on how much water you have to have so much ashes that it should be noticeable, that it should be conspicuous that you threw in ashes. Once you have the kiddush hamayim, once you mixed in enough ashes into the water, then when you do hazas para, hazas shlishi shvi, you don't have to drop ashes on the person, you can just drop water on him. But melechatchin, when you do the kiddush hamayim, when you mix in the ashes of the paradum into water, you have to have a significant amount of ashes that it should be noticeable, should be conspicuous. In the third case, we still have his manazah, roka yivama. When the yivama does chalitza, so the Torah says, the mitzvah bishlem, a chalitza is a mitzvah. So that's why you have lechatchilim b'diyeved on the level of the raisa. Many times you have lechatchilim b'diyeved, and a get, lechatchilim get should have been written by this b'diyeved, it's okay, lechatchilim shouldn't put the fleshiks on a melchik plate, and a lot of times b'diyeved it will be kosher, won't make drapes. All those lechatchilis, and b'diyeved, that Taisa said that's a dead giveaway, that's only midirabbana. You only have lechatchila medieved and a din deraisa if it's a mitzvah. If it's an iser, so if it's also lechatchila, it's also medieved. You can't distinguish. In mitzvahs, you have a mitzvah b'shleimus, you have a mitzvah shalo b'shleimus, you get less levyosin. When you go to the Olam Haba, you get less schar for performing the mitzvah. So chalitza has a lot of lechatchilas. Chalitza, you have to have, she has to take off the shoe. Lechatchila, she should take it off with the right hand, but she does with the left hand, it's good. So already lechatchila. Mikra did, mi paskin b'diyeved, it's good if she does with the left hand. The choshish for that opinion in Tosfos is that the left hand is makir. Chaltz b'smolchal, it's also b'sula goes on the left hand. Then you have to do kriyas apsukim, the yovim says psukim, she says psukim, and then she has to do rikika, she spits on the floor in front of the yovim. So there are different opinions in the Tanaim. When we learned Eilon Amorim, we saw it. So we pass on halacha that the rikika is not miyakim and the kriyas apsukim is not miyakim. The only thing that's miyakim is the chalitza sasandal. So it's not miyakim. What he needed for lechatchila? If it's not miyakim, what he needed for? The answer is it's a mitzvah. That's what Tosfos writes in the end of Nida. Chalitza is a mitzvah. So it's, the mitzvah should be done b'shleimusa. But the yevid, if you do shalom b'shleimusa, so you'll be yitz. Sometimes you do a mitzvah so much shalom b'shleimusa, let's say I wear tefillin, and tefillin won't have any parshias in them. I'm not yitz a mitzvah shalom b'shleimusa, it's garnish mekar. I'm not yitz anything. Sometimes it's called the mitzvah shalom b'shleimusa incomplete, and sometimes it's so incomplete that you're not yitz anything. So that's the machlokes satanaim. So we paskin that the rikika is not miyakim, and the kriyas habsukim is not miyakim. Only the chalitza is miyakev. So what he needed l'chatchila, that's for the purpose of fulfilling the mitzvah b'shleimus. That's a din in Shulchan Aruch, the Mefarshim on the Shulchan Aruch have a shayla. Let's say a man dies leaving no children. He's 75 years old. His wife is 73 years old. She's not interested in remarrying. Where's she going to find a nice boy 75 years old to marry her? So is there still a mitzvah to perform chalitza? Or do you say, no, you only do the mitzvah if she's interested in remarrying. So if you would have said chalitza is bechalal not a mitzvah, chalitza is like a get, chalitza is a matir. So then if she's not interested in remarrying, oh, no shaila. But we don't hold like that. We hold chalitza is a mitzvah. V'harai there a dinim lechatchila. So that's a din on achrayim. Is it only a mitzvah to perform chalitza if she's interested in remarrying? Then it's a mitzvah. What do you say? No, it's a mitzvah to perform chalitza even if she's not interested in remarrying. So that's a discussion in achrayim and evenes. The common practice is that people only do chalitza when they're holding by remarrying. And many poskim say that that's not right. It should really be considered a mitzvah even if she's not interested in remarrying. Remember many years ago, there was a woman who was an almana in Breuer's. When I first moved into Breuer's community over 40 years ago, there was a woman whose husband died. She never had any children. And she wasn't interested in remarrying for a while. So she didn't have, there was a brother-in-law, so she never did chalitza. Then she met a nice man from the Kehillah, and she really wanted to get married. So she had to have chalitza first. So they didn't tell the Rabbanim what their plans were. Their plan was, they were going to do chalitza, the next day they were going to get married, the next day they were going to go away for Pesach to a hotel. It was going to be something like 2 days before Pesach. So there in Breuser do the chalitza in the shul, after Shachris. So they did the chalitza, and then she said she wants to marry this fellow. So they said they can't be Masada Kiddushin for her. Because there's a din in the Gemara, when you propose to a girl, we assume that it may be Dam Chima. And even if the girl is 65 years old, she's already Musulakas Damim for a while, still, when Machma, even as Kena, that's how many Mishonim had the Gears in the Gemara, still there's a Chashash, maybe there's Dam Chima. So you have to wait Shivinikim. So here the fellow already proposed to her a long time ago, but he couldn't marry her until she does the Chalitza. So there's a chumre, the Pischei Tshuva in Hilchas Nida, quotes a Dion in Achrayim, a group of Achrayim, a minority opinion say that you're not allowed to, the Shiva Nikim that she counts, it only begins after she had the Chalitza.
Even though it's 5 years later.
A long time later. And even though she already met this fellow months ago and they already made up their mind they're going to get married, so there's such a chumrah that Tavuali Nasev in Espaisot Sikhaleshev Shivinakim. When the boy proposes to the girl, we assume that there's Dam Chimed coming out. You have to wait Shivinakim. So the Dam Chimed only, you have to be concerned that Dam Chimed may have come out after she did the Chalitza. Before she did the Chalitza, there's nothing to talk about. It's not Shaykh, he get married. They were religious people. So their plan was to do the chalitza, to get married the next day, and then to go to the hotel for Pesach the next day. So they had to rent two rooms in the hotel, because they couldn't get married till after Pesach. But the Yekis don't observe Sfira till Rosh Chodesh year. So they got married right after Pesach. You can't get married on Yontif. You can't get married Chalamoid. It's a din derais. Eimar and Simcha v'Simcha. They say it's a din derais. So they got married after Pesach.
It finally worked out in the end.
Yeah. Yes. So the din is when you do the rikika is not miyakev. It just for the purpose of fulfilling the mitzvah bishleimusa, you have to do the rikika. So the mitzvah is only fulfilled bishleimusa if all of the members of the bezin see the roka nira leinayim. Let's say she'll spit a little bit on the floor, and the people in the bezin didn't see it. So b'diavad, it'll be good even if she didn't do the rikika at all. But if you want to do the mitzvah bishleimusa, then you want to do rikika. It has to be, how does it say, biyarka b'fanav le'eni haskenim. It has to be roka nira le'dayarim. They have to be able to see. A lot of times, you can't see the roka unless you're sitting very close. There was a strange occurrence in Yishev. They had a chalitza on Erev Rosh Hashanah. There was some kind of friction. I didn't know what I asked them. You don't do a chalitza Erev Shabbos, Erev Yontif. Unless it's a Shas Adchak. So the Rabbanim who were involved said this was a big Shas Adchak. They were afraid for some reason or another the Yavim wouldn't agree to do a Chalitz. So he was coming in for Rosh Hashanah to spend Yandav in New York, lives out of town. So he agreed to do the Chalitz. So when they did the Rikika, they had all the Dayanim were sitting over here, and the woman was all the way the other end of the room. She was sitting so far. So I didn't see the Roke. So after she did the rikika, so one of the rabbanim said, did everybody see the rokes? I whispered, I didn't see it. So they said they didn't want to ask her to do it again because they were afraid that everybody was so touchy, everybody was so sensitive. So they said, leave it the way it is. But the evidence is good, even if you didn't do the rikika, is good. On the normal circumstances,
you have to see the rikika come out, but you can see the rikika on the floor.
On the floor.
So you can go over and look.
Go over and look. Yeah. I don't know if I didn't go over and look, and I don't know if I would have been able. I think there was a carpet on the floor. Probably wouldn't have been able to see it. So that's what the Gemara says, that these are the three dinim that depend on Dova Hanira, Shei Ro.
Was it a chalitza that you follow, Lashon did? And you have a spit board, like a board to spit on, so that it, and then if you can show it to everybody. Mm-hmm. So
doesn't get absorbed in the carpet.
Not only that, but if somebody can see it, you can his eyes in, you know.
Could she appoint the shliach to take off the shoe, or it's not shy?
The Gemara says a chalitza cannot be done by a shliach. So let's say if they did live in two different countries, he come to katze b'devasa, so someone has to come to the other one. You can't send the shliach. So the Maharsham was known as a great makel. Hashem died 100 years ago. He was known as a big maker. So there was once a situation where there was a tremendous shas hadchak, and under great pressure, apparently from the Goyish government, he wrote a tshuva psak that the yovam, and the Gemara says he can't make a shliach, means the yovam cannot make a shliach, but the yavama can make a shliach. Why? Because the yovam cannot make a shliach, you need the chalitza should be done to his right leg. So if she's going to take off the shoe from the right leg of the shliach, that's not superior to the left leg of the yovam. It's the wrong leg. It's the incorrect leg. It has to be the correct leg. It has to be the right leg. That's like a mitzvah shebegufoy. I'll tell you, put tefillin on your arm, and if you put tefillin on my arm, you're my shliach to put tefillin on my arm. I'm going to put tefillin on your arm. It's on the wrong arm. So if I'll send a shliach, he should do the chalitza for me. What do you mean? His right leg is the incorrect leg. It's not better than my left leg. That's because you need a specific leg. But by the Yavama, you don't really need any specific part of her body. she can really do the chalitza, but the right arm with the left arm, kidem is chaletzes b'shinah. However, so since the Yavama just does a maisa, there's no specific part of her body that has to be used. So the Marshaman, the great pressure was Mako, and he said that she can send a shliach, so you can really have chalitza done if they live in two different hemispheres. One lives in China, one lives in America. The Yavama can send a shliach, can make a shliach. So all the Gedolim were opposed. They were furious about this. And one of them wrote a tshuva attacking the Marsham, that it's wrong, and it was only under pressure from the Goyisha government. And then they said the Marsham backed down, and he admitted that he made a mistake. And then later on in America, there were big Talmid HaChachamim who were characters in every generation. There were Talmid HaChachamim who were characters. So there were slight shas hatchak. So they went along with this original Marsham. So they permitted the chalitza, the shliach, the yavama can make a shliach. The yavam cannot make a shliach, the yavama can make a shliach. So Rab Chaim Moshe got furious, and the Ragat Shava, they all said, it's Azal Kamamri, and then Mansura Mared, and Apikiris, and they gave him all the titles. They were characters of Rab. They knew how to learn, and they dug up this Marsham. They were about the same time as the Marsham. So they came up with this Marsham that he can make a shliach. The Pashta says that it's wrong. Because the Gemara says he cannot make a tanai. When you do chalitza, cannot make a tanai. Let's say the yavam will be a nice, easygoing guy. So I'll agree to do the chalitza a la tanai. If you pay me $100,000, the chalitza should be valid. If you don't pay the money, the chalitza should not be valid. So the Gemara says you go through with the chalitza, and the chalitza is good even if she doesn't pay the money, because you can make a get a la tanai, you can do kiddushin a la tanai, but you cannot make a tanai and chalitza. So the Gemara says why? Because No. Let's say I give a get, I'll try. The get should be, I give you the get. The get should be kosher on the condition that you pay me $1 million. But that's not the reason the Gemara gives. The Gemara doesn't say masa mashkos mater. So the Gemara says you can't make a try because milsa de leisa b'shlichus leisa b'tanai. Whenever you cannot appoint a shlich, then you cannot make it tanai. So Taisus comments on that Gemara. Milsa de leisa b'shlichus leisa b'tanai is not a gzeiras hakosev. It's a milsa de mistavra. If you're not a balabas to appoint a shliach, so then you're not a balabas to make a tanai either. It goes with the svara. It's not a gzeiras hakosev. So if you're going to say the reason why the yavam cannot make a shliach is because it's the wrong leg, the right leg of the shliach is not better than the left leg of the yavam. So that's a technical halacha that you can't make a shliach. That's not because of a lack of bailus. So then he should be able to make a tanai. So the fact that Gemara said you cannot make a tanai is an indication that nobody can make a shliach. It's because you're not a bailum to make a shliach, not the yavam and not the yavam. So that's what they all disagreed with that Marasham, and he himself backed down. Okay, we'll save the next Gemara for next week. Torah describes what happened on the occasion of the Mabul. Only the animals and the people who were on the Teva survived, and all the other animals died. So the expression used by the Chumash is Kol Hashanishmas Ruach Chayim Biyapov Mikol Hashbecharovo Mesu. All the animals and all the people on the dry land died. So the expression that the Chumash uses is striking. All animals that were breathing through their nose. All living animals are people who are breathing through their nose. So the Gemara has a comment in the end of Yuma. The Gemara says, let's say a house falls down on a person on Shabbat, and the guy's going to get crushed to death. So pikuach nefesh is doicha Shabbos. So you have to get all the tractors and get to do as much chilul Shabbos as necessary to try to save the fellow's life. So let's say you dig out all the bricks, you dig out all the debris, the World Trade Center collapses and there are some survivors on the bottom. So if it would happen on Shabbos, you have to try to save as many lives as possible. So they dig him out and they see that he's not breathing. So the Gemara says, if he sees he's not breathing, then he's dead, and you have to check to see whether the heart is beating or not. How do you know that it all depends on breathing? So the Gemara says, based on this pasuk, Kol Hashanishmas Ruach Chayim Biyapov, you see, when a person is breathing, is alive. When a person is not breathing, then is considered dead. So that's the whole debate now. There's a minority of Rabbanim who came up with a new Einfall. They recognize brain death. What's up is brain death. Brain death means a person is not able to breathe independently. He can only breathe with the machine. So they came up with this Einfall that since the expression that the Pasuk uses, the Gemara relies on this Pasuk, Kolash Anishmas Ruach Chaim B'Yapov, if the fellow is not able to breathe on his own, then he's not considered alive. Very, very difficult. So the Maritz Chayis was a contemporary, the one we quoted tonight, who learned by Rabbi Ephraim Zalman Magolos, he was a contemporary of the Chasam Sefer. So he had correspondence a little bit with the Chasam Sefer. So in all of the tshuvas of the Chasam Sefer, every tshuva begins, he writes the letter was written to so-and-so, to Balabas, to a rabbi, to my Talmud, to my Chover, to so-and-so, to my father-in-law. He writes in the beginning. There are less than 10 letters where there's no name at the beginning of the letter. So one of the letters, we know why there's no name. Someone had written to the Maritz, someone happened to be the Maritz Chai, someone had written to the Chasam Sefer. At that time, some of the countries in Europe wanted to adopt a law, and some of them did adopt a law. You're not allowed to bury anyone until 72 hours go by after the death certificate was signed. Because they came to the realization that doctors were making mistakes. They were declaring people as dead, and they were really alive. And they were burying people alive. Some of the countries in Europe, some of the countries still have the law like that. You're not allowed to bury anyone until 72 hours go by after the doctor signed the death certificate to make sure that the patient, to make sure that the person is really dead. So the shaila is, we have a mitzvah, kovetik bereda bayamahu, a mitzvah says to bury before shkia. The soul and the velocity is not allowed to leave over till alois hashachar. And he said halona. Halona means to alois hashachar. Unless he leave it over because he want to get more people to attend the funeral. He want to get the relatives to come from distant locations. But otherwise, there's a din of halona sameis. So the shaila was, are we allowed to go along with the government laws that you have to wait 3 days? Well, the government says it's a suffix sakana. So the Saka suffix sakana, so we should go along. I mean, we may be burying people alive. Every so often they have in this funny newspaper, the National Enquirer, when you go shopping in the A&P, so they have it by the checkout counter. So they have headlines that the Galach was in the middle of delivering a eulogy, and the guy wakes up and he said, what eulogy? I'm still alive. Well, what are you making a eulogy? So every so often they think a person is dead. One out of a million happens like that. That's why they write it up on the first page in the newspaper.
Is there a rush like that?
Huh?
Is there a rush that says something like that also, that within 72 hours, somebody...
No? I don't know. So the Shaila was asked, the Maritz Chai sent the Shaila to the Chasam Sefer, maybe we should go along with the Dina de Malchusa, because Safek Sakona. And he said there's a story is related in Maseches Machas, that's... Maseches Machas is a euphemism. It's Hilchas Avelos. It's called Ovo Rabasi. It's called Maseches Machas, the cheerful Maseches. So the story is related. Someone went to visit the cemetery, and they were walking around, and they heard someone knocking on the door. They had a ohel knocking on the door. Get me out of here! They buried me alive, and I'm still alive. And they had kuchen. They buried people in vaults, and the guy walked out, and he was locked in. So they opened up, unlocked the gate, and they took the guy out. They saved his life. So you see that they. It's not from the Gemara. Days of the Goyim. So you see that the Goyim write such a story that they saved the person's life, that they made a mistake, they buried him alive. So maybe we should go along with the Goyim. So the Chasam Sefer says that that's ridiculous. The story happened once in a million cases, and that's not called the suffix sakana. It doesn't have to be 50-50 to be called the suffix sakana. Less than 1% is also a suffix sakana. But if it's one chance out of a million, that's not called Echad Mini Elef Alfei Olam, that's not called the suffix Sakana, that's ridiculous. And then he writes in the tshuva, the reason why he doesn't have his name, he writes in the tshuva, are you an apikoris or something? You don't believe when the Rebbe Shlom gave the Torah to Moshe Rabbeinu, he didn't tell him what the definition of life and death is. He told him if the guy's not breathing, so he's dead. So we follow the din of the Torah. So that's why he didn't want to write to whom the letter was written. Because he writes a nasty expression, are you an apikoros? How do we know the letter was written to the Maritz Chayis? He was very proud of his correspondence with the Chasam Sefer. So he put out a separate sefer, my correspondence with the Chasam Sefer. So he has the shaila that he sent and the response that the Chasam Sefer get. And then, after you read the shaila that he sent, now you actually begin to understand what the response of the Chasam Sefer was. The Chasam Sefer is answering, responding paragraph by paragraph. Every paragraph that the Maritz Chayis sent him, he has a paragraph in his tshuva. If you don't read the Maritz Chayis and Shaila, you don't understand what in the world did the Chasam Sefer quote a Mora Nevuchim for. In the middle of a tshuva, he quote. because the Maritz Chai is quoted in the Mar Nevuchim. So he quoted the Mar Nevuchim. The Rambam wrote a book on philosophy, Mar Nevuchim, and the Rambam was a doctor. So in his Mar Nevuchim, he quotes from Galen. Galen was a Greek doctor, physician. So Galen records, supposedly, an incident. It is not true. He claims in medical history they had a situation that a person stopped breathing for 3 days, and then he came to. After 3 days, he came to, and he left. He led a productive life after that was over. So the Maritz Chai says, but the Gemara says, if he stops breathing, he's considered dead. So how can it be? So don't you see, the Rambam, the Heilige Rambam, quotes Galen that such a thing is possible. And we have a tradition that the Chevra Kadisha sees that the man stopped breathing. If he stops breathing for 2 minutes, you don't bury him right away. You wait 20 minutes. Rav Moshe says 15, 20 minutes. And if he's not breathing for 20 minutes, you assume that he's dead. The Rambam records that there was someone who wasn't breathing for 3 days and he was not dead. So the Chassam Sofer says, the comment that the Gemara made on this pasuk in Parshas Noach by the Mabul, Kol Asher Nishmas Ruach Chaim B'Yafov, the Kol Asher Becharov Meisu, that it depends on breathing, he doesn't think that that's a drasha. He thinks that that's an asmachta, and they got this from the Goyish doctors, that if the guy's not breathing, and it means ruba de ruba, that's the case. He said, that's not a halacha if the guy... The definition of death is something else. He doesn't discuss what the correct definition of death is. This is usually a similar dover. If the guy's not breathing for 20 minutes, this is usually a simen muvik. There's one chance out of a million that he's still alive. It'll happen once in a million cases like that, he'll still be alive. But he said, that's not a halacha. That's usually a simen muvik. So that's why the whole argument that they presented, the Chassam Sofer's tshuva is quoted, this is not a hidden tshuva. This tshuva is quoted by the Pischei Tshuva and Yeridea on the page when they talk about halonos ameis, when they talk about when do you determine. You wait 15, 20 minutes, when the guy stops breathing, you assume that he's dead. So they quote this Chassam Sofer there. It's not a secret. I didn't discover the Chassam Sofer. So it's very questionable, the opinion that... That the minority of the Rabbanim came up with, that we should recognize brain death based on this Gemara, that he stopped breathing. The Pashto says that it's not correct. No, we should all live for many years to come. Before the summer, my son celebrated, my son in Baltimore, I have three sons, my son in Baltimore celebrated the bar mitzvah of his oldest child. So the cover of the bar mitzvah, he put out a sefer on one perek in Pcheres. So a lot of people are learning Daf Yomi. So Daf Yomi is about to finish Chul, and they're going to soon start Pcheres. So I brought a few copies of the sefer. People are interested in buying a copy. Okay.
Some more tea then.